When you think about the concept of obedience to God, or when you think about it in your own life, if you do, what does it mean to be obedient to God? Many times we will frame the language of obedience to God around the word no, N-O. Right? What is it that I need to say no to in order to be obedient to God? Now, that's good, isn't it? There's a healthy way that we say no to the things that God tells us to say no to. God tells us to say no to certain things that will brutalize our soul and lead us to stray from Him. And so it's good for us in our spiritual growth. And if we're a Christian here this morning, our maturity in the faith, to learn what it is that God says to say no to. And the Bible is clear. His moral law teaches us about things that we need to say no to in order for us to grow. But there is another way that sometimes people will think about obedience and what do I need to say no to that are less healthy. For some, they have an image of God, a kind of projection of maybe what they experienced as a child from a parent or a teacher or a coach or a boss, the kind of person who's always watching over you, kind of staring you down, seeing to see where you're going to mess up, and when you mess up, boy, they let you have it. And so some of you here this morning, when you think about not making a mistake or saying no to something, you do so under that kind of idea that God has got that kind of stare upon your life where He's looking for you to mess up, and when you do, you better watch out. That's a little less healthier way of thinking about no. For some of you here this morning, when you think about what do I say no to in terms of obedience to God, it may go to even a deeper place than that. For some here this morning, you may have this idea that God's love for me is primarily contingent upon what I do or what I don't do. In other words, there's always this sense that God's love to me may be flailing in some way, and I need to make sure that I don't do certain things in order to keep myself in that love. In other words, there's different ways that we think about no, whether healthy or unhealthy, but for a lot of us, if I were to have you talk about obedience in your own life to God, or if I were to have you just talk about obedience to God as a concept, you would frame it around things you don't do, what you say no to. Now, this morning, we're going to think about obedience differently, or perhaps complementary way, that for us this morning, if you have a kind of a healthy sense of no in what God's word says, it might be healthy for you to fill out your sense of obedience and what it means to obey God by also understanding that God says yes when we talk about obedience. That there is a positive vision for obedience that God gives us, what we say yes to. And so for some here this morning, it might be helpful to kind of flesh out your faith a little bit more and to hear how God says yes to us in terms of obedience. For others here this morning, when we talk about this positive vision of obedience, it may serve as a corrective to some of those unhealthier ways you may think about obedience. But that's what we're going to do today. We're going to think about and talk about obedience to God. And we're going to do so from a positive vision of what God says about obedience and our relationship to Him. So this morning, if you have your Bible, I'd like for you to open your Bible to Psalm 119. And I want to encourage you, if you keep coming back, we're going to spend a lot of time here in Psalm 119. In fact, throughout most of the spring, there'll be some differences with Easter and things like that, but throughout the spring into June, we're really just going to go section by section in Psalm 119. If you don't have a Bible, we encourage you to use one of the Bibles that we provide. It's on page 436, which is in your bulletin. And so as you turn to Psalm 119, our focus today is going to be on verses 1 through 8. And Psalm 119 is one of the more famous psalms in that it's one of the longest psalms. It's 176 verses, but it's divided out by the Hebrew alphabet. So each section is a letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And if you want some extra credit today, or you might think this is interesting, the Hebrew alphabet is only consonants. There are no vowels in the Hebrew alphabet. They say vowels, but they don't put them down in their alphabet. So all of these are consonants, and that, in a few bucks, will get you a cup of coffee. But it's helpful to know this is how Psalm 119 is divided out. Now, in the original Hebrew, so we're looking at verses 1 through 8 today in Psalm 119. Each of these verses begin with the Hebrew letter Aleph, which is the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. So if you're looking at Hebrew, this is a way for them to remember this. It all starts with the letter Aleph. And so I want you to follow along today as we start this sermon series in Psalm 119. It says, "Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all of your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me." Now, when we read this psalm, and applies, I think, for most of the psalms as well, the psalms are an expression of praise. A person, a psalmist, giving praise to God. They're not primarily a kind of a how-to manual. They are more of listening in on an expression of praise. It's giving voice to what many of us experience with God. And yet, when we look at the Psalms, we can also get a glimpse of how God works in our life and how we can respond to God in praise to him. And so this morning, I really want us to spend some time focused on this word, blessed. Right, you see it in the first and second verse. Blessed is the one who follows the laws of God. Blessed is the one. Now, what I'm going to say here in a second is obvious, but I hope it's also helpful. When we talk about someone who is blessed, we're talking about someone who is in the recipient position in relationship with God. We are receiving from God what he is doing in our life. We're not talking about a blessing we give to ourselves or to others. We're talking about God working in our life in such a way that our life can be called blessed in the fullest sense of that term, what it means to be a God-blessed man, a God-blessed woman. What does that look like? Well, the psalmist connects the flow of God's blessing to us, God's hand upon our life, that blessed relationship to have with God, that God blesses those who walk in his ways. God blesses those, in other words, who are obedient. And I want us to stop there because here it is. Here's a positive vision of obedience. This is not a warning. There's a place for that. Right? When we read God's word, he will sometimes warn us about the dangers of disobedience and what can happen here. Again, more of a no, and we need those. But here is a positive vision of obedience to God. He's saying the man or the woman, the teenager, the child who walks in obedience with God will be the recipient and will receive and experience the blessings of God. Their life will literally be a God-blessed life. Again, not in just a superficial sense, but in the fullest sense of that term, that God blessing our lives. And so he ties it to those things. And then as we'll see this throughout the Psalms, because once again, these are expressions of praise, that as the psalmist gives expression to the praise that blessed are those who are obedient to God, he then calls upon God, "God, please don't abandon me. Don't forsake me. Don't let me be put to shame. He knows that for God to somehow remove his hand upon his life, or if somehow God wasn't in his life would be over. But he's saying, God, you know me. Don't forsake me. Be with me. There's that expression, that call out that God be with me. And then there is that expression of praise, right? That it's marked by joy, that there would be joy in obedience to him. This is not a dour passage of Scripture. This is an expression of joyous praise of someone who has experienced God and desires to obey God in his or her life in such a way that God blesses. So as we think about this today, as we step back from our own lives, and I want you to do that. I want you to step back and think about your own life and the ways that you may think about obedience to God. And I want you to make this connection today, this positive connection with obedience, that the God-blessed life is an obedient life. In fact, I want to challenge you today and encourage you today to embrace this vision that a God-blessed life is an obedient life. That obedience and experiencing God always go together. A God-blessed life is an obedient life. So what does that mean for us then? Well, I think it means a lot, but today let me give us three things that I hope will be helpful to you. The first is, and we're going to say this a lot when we look at Psalm 119, that Psalm 119 is written by and for someone who is already in a relationship with God. That Psalm 119 is primarily about how we grow in our faith. It's not primarily how you come into a relationship with God. That we're not reading Psalm 119 to someone who has never put their faith in Jesus Christ and saying, here's how you are reconciled to God, that you know you do these things. No, this is about someone who has already accepted Christ and knows him and wants to grow closer to God by faith. And that is important because whenever we read the Bible, from the Old Testament, the New Testament, beginning to the end, one of the things that is important and foundational to God's relationship with us is that he creates a covenant with us. And a covenant means that when we talk about a relationship with God, God is the starting point. God is the initiator of his covenant with us. It's not we who take the first step. It's not we who first love God, but God who loves us reaches out to us in his plan of redemption and creates a covenant with us. And that covenant, this is crucial language, that covenant is the language of relationship. This is not just a contract between parties, but this is someone who is a sovereign king creating a relationship with his people. So he initiates the covenant and he provides the stipulations for the covenant. He lays out how we can be reconciled to God. And so when you read the Bible, you see it over and over again, that one of the principles, one of the foundational principles of a relationship with God, to experience him and to know him and to be accepted by him, is there must be the atonement for our sins. Throughout the Bible, you see this over and over again. Our turning away from God, Our nature is such that we turn away from him. And in order to be reconciled to him, there must be atonement. Now, when you read the Old Testament, you see that through the sacrificial system of animals in the temple in Jerusalem. I mean, very detailed commands about the shedding of blood of these animals for the atonement of the one who brings the animal to the temple. This is the stipulations of the covenant that God gives to us. There must be forgiveness of sin, and for the forgiveness of sin, there must be the shedding of blood. And when you understand that, again, if you come here a lot, you hear us talk about this, it's important, then you can understand the cross. why it wasn't a bloodless death, why we talk about the blood of Jesus, because it was through his blood that our sins can be forgiven. Final and completely, it is what we call the finished work of Jesus. It has been completed by him. That's why we don't sacrifice animals. Right? That's why we don't shed the blood of animals to be reconciled to God anymore. That's why we put our faith, here it is, we put our faith in Jesus. And when we put our faith in Jesus, we are forgiven forevermore and brought into a relationship with him. This is how God establishes his covenant with us. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, this is what God, we don't establish the covenant, do we? God does. And so we're reconciled to God the Father through Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross. And when we put our faith in Jesus, we're not only forgiven, but we're brought into a relationship with him, and the Spirit of God indwells us. And when the Spirit of God indwells us, there will, I believe, be a hunger for God and obedience to him. And when we have that hunger and desire for God and we come to Psalm 119, we have a positive vision for obedience in our life. Not as a way to get God on our side, but because God has reconciled us to Jesus Christ, we want to obey him because we love him and are grateful for the mercy that was shown to us. So point number one is, have you put your faith in Christ for your salvation? Have you experienced new life through Jesus? Stephanie made that public today through baptism, but the first work is the work of the heart. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ, in him alone for your salvation? That's how you are brought into this covenant with God. And once again, once we're in this covenant, God will awaken desires in our life for obedience. And so the second thing that I want you to know this morning about the truth, or the challenge to embrace a vision that a God-blessed life is an obedient life. The second thing I want you to note, and we're going to note this throughout the Psalms, is that God's work in you is a lifelong process. Embrace the reality that spiritual growth is going to take time. You are a work in progress. And guess what? So is your pastor and your pastors here at First Baptist. God is at work in us. Now we are an instantaneous society. When I want something, I want it now. When I order something on Amazon, it's been 2 days, what's wrong, right? I mean, we are used, aren't we? Think about how grumpy we get if our food takes a while at the restaurant. I mean, it doesn't take much. And we've been coached, we've been conditioned to a way of life that's very much instantaneous. When there's a desire, that desire is met quickly and fulfilled quickly. But here's the thing. When it comes to our spiritual growth, when it comes to growing in a relationship with God through Jesus, that's going to take time. In fact, it's going to take the rest of your life. God's going to do this work in you. There will be times when he encourages you. There will be times when he challenges you. But it's going to be a maturing, non-linear process of growth over time, which I find encouraging that I don't have to have it all together at this very moment, because God's still at work in my life, that God is growing and maturing me. And this life lived in obedience is not a life that's always going to be lived out perfectly by me or by you, but God's grace, the grace that was sufficient to save us, is sufficient to help us endure and encourage us in our spiritual growth. So secondly, this morning, I want you to give up this idea of a microwave faith, of an instantaneous, quick gratification, and embrace the fact that God is at work in every area of your life. Not just on the mountaintops, where everything's great and you have lots of feelings, but even in those moments where that are difficult and hard, and you may not even feel like God is working. Here's the, God is working in your life. So embrace the vision that a God-blessed life is an obedient life, and embrace the fact that that's going to be a work of a progress in your life. The third and final thing I want to give you this morning in Psalm 119 is that there is no shortcut that has you avoid the Word of God. Or let me say that a better way. There is no end round to the Word of God. The Word of God is central to your growth, and there is no shortcut to that. The Word of God is central to your maturity in the faith. And there is no way for us in our spiritual growth to somehow say, well, is there a path that I can walk that doesn't involve growth in the Word of God? That path doesn't exist. And so I want to encourage you in your life to find ways to get the Word of God in your life. However that looks in your life. Again, we are so fortunate. We have so many resources as Christians in the United States that can help us find ways to get God's Word in our life. And you find what works best for you. Are you a morning person? Are you not a morning person? Right? Who cares? Find, you know, if you're able to find time to get in the Word in the morning, and that's the kind of the sweet spot for you, great. If it's at night, great. If you're, you know, I think about when we had, you know, young children and newborns in our house, and you're waking up in the morning exhausted and tired. It would be unwise and unhealthy for me or some other pastor to say, if you don't spend time in the Word in the morning, you're a bad Christian or something like that. Who cares what time you do it? Find time to get in the Word. What's your personality? What stage of life are you in? You know, all those different things you are going to make you your time and your life uniquely yours. So find ways to get in the Word in your private life, in community life, in Sunday school or a small group. We preach from the Word of God, right? That we want you to open the Bible. We want to get you in the Word. But I want you to hear this. This is important. Because every sermon in Psalm 119, I can just say this. You know, you need to spend more time in the Bible. I can just come up here every Sunday and go, here's what you need to do. Spend time in the Bible. All right, see you next week. And that's right. That's absolutely correct. I'm telling you that right now, aren't I? Spend time in God's Word. But don't forget why we're doing that. Because I don't know if you've had this experience. I've grew up most of my life in a Baptist church. We encourage, and I think this is one of our strengths, we encourage people to open the Bible and get in the Word. So I've heard throughout my life, spend time in the Bible, get into the Bible, spend time in the Word. But we sometimes forget the reason why. Why are we doing that? Is it simply because we're dutiful in our discipline of obedience? Okay, that's a place for that. Is it something more unhealthy like we talked about? Like if I read the Bible today, it'll keep bad things from happening to me, like a magic trick of some kind. That's less helpful. No, the reason we come to God's Word, the reason that God has given us His Word, is because of His relationship with us. That if what I am saying is true about what God has done for us in Christ and what we receive by Christ when we put our faith in Him, that we are brought into a love relationship with God, and that love is rooted in who He is and what He has done, and that we are the recipients of His mercy and grace, and that, therefore, we have a vision for a life of obedience, not of begrudging obedience to a cruel deity, but of joyful, love-filled obedience to a God who has extended His grace and mercy to us. If all of that is true, then boy, I want to spend time in the Word. I want to know this God and what He's doing in my life. I want to see how each day, again, even in the normal days that are boring and nothing exciting, even in those days, I want to know what God is saying to me through His Word. And so throughout this sermon, Psalm 119 is almost like a meditation upon the Word of God, about the fact that God has given us His Word. He has revealed Himself through His Word, and His Word is in our life. And blessed is the one who follows His statutes, who follows the law, who follows its principles, right? We're going to talk about that over and over again, about how important God's Word is in our life. But don't forget that the call to spend time in the Word is the call to grow in a relationship with the God who has given Himself for you. So today we're kind of stepping back. You know, it's the beginning of a new year, 2025. And I don't know what your vision for your life is in 2025, if you've even thought about it. But this morning, I hope you will see that there is this vision that God has given to us. That God's Word said, this is a life that is blessed. Of a man or a woman who knows God, is in union, has that relationship with Him, who experiences Him, experiences God working in their life. That person is blessed. And that person who experiences that is one who grows in a love relationship with Him through obedience. And so this morning, I hope as you look ahead to this new year, that you will embrace a vision for your life that's bigger than most of our New Year's resolutions. And a vision that extends throughout the entirety of your life, not just this year, but a whole vision of your life. A life lived in union with God, experiencing Him and His grace and His mercy in our life, and embracing a vision that the God-blessed life, that my life being blessed by God, will be lived out in a life of joy-filled obedience to Him. The God-filled life, the God-blessed life, is a life lived in obedience to Him. Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank You that You have given Your Word to us today. And I pray today for someone here who does not have that relationship with You, who has never put their faith in Your Son, Christ Jesus, in what He did on the cross. I pray today that by Your Holy Spirit at work, You will bring that person here today to a place of repentance, where they recognize their sin, where they recognize the limits of themselves. For the first time in their life, they put their faith in You. They call upon You, Christ Jesus. God, I pray for those here today who may be struggling in their faith for whatever reason. God, I pray that You would use Your Word to renew their hearts, their minds, their souls, their strength. And that this would not be a year of going through the motions. This would not be a year of an anemic faith, but of a vibrant, growing relationship with You, even in the quiet and dull moments of life. God, I pray You will help us to have Your vision for our life, a life blessed by You, Lord, through obedience. So shape our thinking, shape our feeling. Shape our lives so that our lives bring glory to You. And this we pray in the name of Jesus.